Hey, so you had a chance to reflect on your own process and then hear other people's process. So now, what are you thinking about this process of religious history? In what ways do you find it informative? In what ways do you feel like this was the past? I mean, were there any surprises for you in going through it? Any things that became clearer to you? Like maybe you thought, oh, I'm going to go back and rewrite that part of it because after listening and reflecting, I have a different approach.
I thought about how even after I wrote it, I immediately have a sense of, gosh, this isn't exactly right or not reflective of what I'm thinking anymore. I want to change it. And it's like a constantly morphing process. And I thought about, gosh, I'm devoting a year to doing this. I can't imagine someone who doesn't have the luxury of doing this to be able to articulate their faith like quickly or like to be able to do it at all. So I feel like a lot more empathy and patience in this whole entire conversation, especially with those who don't have the time to reflect. Mm. Thank you.
Thank you.
Something that a kind of pattern that came up in our small group, and Paul, you kind of hinted at this as well, is just the how central the relationship of the negotiating the relationship with the religion of our upbringing, and that was something that in my own process I underestimated. I sort of had this narrative as I had this narrative of being someone who wasn't really raised religious, and then in writing the story, kind of had to admit, like, oh, actually, there was more here than I thought, and that was surprising.
Did listening to other people's process, did that give you any insights into your own process?
Listening to my other peers about their own path made me realize that there is nothing like a perfect path or a straight line which happened in a logical sequence for everyone. So each path is unique in its own way, and acceptance came to me. So in terms of this is perfectly fine as long as you know, we keep exploring and discovering what makes sense for each one of us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I think there's obviously a little bit of like self-selection going on, but it's so inspiring to hear from others the way in which they had like spirituality and in some cases religion essentially is like a North Star, regardless of which religion or like form of spirituality it was. Like, they just kept seeking and kept like trying different things until they found what worked for them, and like they were able to like push away like the strictly like dogmatic form of whatever they were involved with, and to make a religion that fit them after like a lifetime of like looking, and that's really wonderful and beautiful. Does anyone want to?
Meeting with my group and going through this process made me really appreciate two things. The process of constantly revisiting our religious narrative and relationship, because we've done it once with our application, we've done it again in like multiple essays, and each time, I used a terrible analogy, but it's like a lice comb. We're trying to get all the little nitty-gritty bits out. And this one around, this time around, went to a lot more of the memories, and I've got to really evaluate them and then spend some time with the nuances and the inherent untrustworthiness of memory, right? Because it's charged with emotions, positive or negative, and so then really spending some time, let's use liminal again, space of, oh, it wasn't just bad, it wasn't just good. And these memories that I'm holding on to 30, 40 years later, like, they were charged for a particular reason. That's how memory works, like sound, smell, taste. We can associate those, and really appreciating the nuances of the memory system and how that informs the narrative now that I'm engaging with and building.
I'd like to echo exactly what you just said. I think memory was a very interesting kind of conclusion for me, too. I actually ended up calling my 85-year-old father to help me fill in the blanks, and I'm 56. Clearly, there's work I need to do with memory games. But the other piece was interdependence, really kind of came to the forefront for me, because, and I mentioned in our group as well, having the karma to follow these random, very almost flippant, in some cases, suggestions of, oh, have you considered being a chaplain? You know, look at, you should look into that. Or have you gone to, since you meditate, you should just go to this, you know, center here that's about 20 minutes away. If you have a chance, go check it out. But the karma had to be there to actually follow up on some of those things. And then another member in our group mentioned, oh, also the causes and conditions needed to be there for that to manifest. So I feel like that was my big conclusion from writing everything, is that at the end of the day, as I strung everything together in a somewhat chronological order, but really not having a plan for the writing, just like flowing the writing, that's what came to mind. It's like these look like very small kind of suggestions that really had an impact on the trajectory of my life.
Can I ask, what was it like to ask your dad and then converse with him about these?
You know, I do think it was helpful to ask him, because first of all, it made him curious about the project. So I'm going to definitely send it to him, because I think it will help him understand me a little bit better, and then also continue kind of the dialogue around it. Secondly, sometimes his memory, because he was an adult, in many of the situations that I was asking about, I was a child. So my memory was, you know, the memory of a four-year-old. And some of these things don't have context to them. None of them do. Like, 4-year-old context is very, very small. And so, like a 4-year-old. So I found that very helpful. And I feel like he started to understand how some of the decisions that they made impacted my life that maybe he wouldn't have had an awareness of. An example of that is, you know, well, I'll just, for the recorded record, I will just say that, you know, my family initially didn't, my parents did not go to church with us. I was raised Christian. They did not go to church. They sent us to church with a family down the street, which was awesome, right? Because I had the church experience. They used that time as their couple time, which is so efficient, right? very efficient and very smart. It was like, oh, I didn't realize that as a child, though, right? So we, you know, eventually we came in and said, hey, why don't you guys ever go to church? And they were like, oh, my God, I got to go to church. So that meant we joined a whole new church and, you know, joined as a family, which is a different type of church than I was going to as a child. And so all those, that dynamic was one that I don't think he really had a clear understanding of the role that that played in terms of the impact of our growing up. So,
yeah.
I'm sure he'll appreciate hearing this if he ever does.
There's texting the Kama Sutra.
Yeah, exactly.
We have a couple more minutes before we're going to go to lunch. Anyone else want to add anything?
I totally agree with everything said before. But the one thing that I also wanted to add was the feeling that somebody of the conclusion that someone else's memory could be more vivid to me than my own memory. And the idea that there's a selflessness that comes from, not selfless in the sense of the easy way of looking at it, but sort of the Buddhist way of just, there's not a non-self. So when I'm hearing something someone else is saying, I'm having those memories. Mm. So Catholicism, like, you know, 1960s Catholic school, the iconography, all the trappings of it. I didn't have access to it, and Barbara was talking about her, and it's like, oh, you know, we went to the same school, but you know, we didn't, but you know, it's like her memories were my memories, but I didn't remember the memories. Hmm. I didn't remember. She was talking about, I was like, oh my gosh, yes, 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 yes. And it's like, now I have the memories again. Mm. So she restored my memory that was my memory, but it was, and then I was like, oh, this is collective consciousness. This is everybody's memory who had that experience. But it's so, because it was in a religious kind of setting, and it was so ritualized, and it was kind of set as so important. And when you're forming a little brain, that's what it takes on the priority or the imprint. And so I imprint like a little duckling. I mean, it was like, but it's so interesting that it's not a personal, you go through the personal to get to the collective. And that's kind of a function of religion that I think I have a new appreciation for.
Okay. We will come back to this. We will. We'll have lunch. Then we'll. I think we do some cleanup there, and then we'll come back and have one more session, and then we'll do one more cleanup, and then we'll close. And we change the schedule. If you look out on the printed schedule out there, you'll see we've scribbled out some of the times and written a new one. So if you would please check that. Okay. Thank you.
There was a word you forgot that.
Well, in the absence of guilt, you figured out how to make this thing work, right?
You did. You did, that's true. Yeah.
This recording thing is an app that's on the iPad.
So elegant.
It is.
You can't do it. I'm going to turn this off.
If you
want
to talk with your stage.
Sure.
what is the effort of awareness or the non-effort of awareness? We both do it.
We both do it? Okay.
Yeah. So this morning we asked you